First, let's meet the young man who helped Chaley out with Sejun's bike riding lesson. Please welcome 17-year-old trombonist Ross Holcomb. Ross, I'm going to move back over to the piano. Why don't you introduce the piece you and I are going to play together?
We're going to play the third movement from the concertino for trombone and orchestra by Ferdinand David.
Ross Holcomb, our 17-year-old trombonist from Tallahassee, Florida. You know, you don't hear romantic trombone concertos that often. The David is rather a special piece, right?
Yeah, for trombone players, it's one of the only romantic concertos that we have to play.
How did it come about?
Well, you know, trombone players, you know, refer to it as the David. It's pretty important. But originally, the David was supposed to be the Mendelssohn. But Mendelssohn received a commission for a trombone concerto, and for some reason, either he didn't like the instrument or he didn't have the time or whatever, he instead asked for his concertmaster and composition student, Ferdinand David, to write the piece instead. So that's how the trombone repertoire comes to contain the David.
Yeah, it's a great piece. I mean, luckily he gave it to one of his really good students. Mm-hmm. And it does have that sort of Mendelssohnian, uplifting sort of romanticism as well.
Right.
It's not a dark piece, it's celebratory.
Anyway, celebratory.
Beautifully played.
Thank you.
Beautifully played. You describe yourself, actually, as sort of a musical leech.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
Yeah. A leech isn't necessarily a good thing, but in this sense, I'm using it in a very positive way, in that I'm sort of sucking up a lot of different musical ideas, a lot of which I get at Leon High School, where I attend school. Mm-hmm. And it's a different school in the sense that we have a really strong arts program, and especially a really strong music program.
So not just band? What else goes
on? No, every day I take band, I take chorus, I take AP Music Theory, and I take steel drum.
Steel drum? How did you get into steel drum?
Well, it's actually a class in our school, and I thought it looked cool and like something I wanted to do, so I joined the steel drum class, and now every day during fifth period, you can find me in the steel drum room, you know, strumming away at my pan.
Why do you feel that the steel drum sound is so appealing and something that everybody tends to like right away?
I think that it's one of those instruments that if someone were to come in and play it badly, you wouldn't really know it.
That's true.
Because it's not really idiomatic to our culture. You know, everyone in America is so used to this, you know, European tradition of music that when you have this steel drum that evolved its own type of music to surround the instrument, you know, people don't really recognize the music as well. But, you know, it sounds bright, it sounds chipper, and people enjoy it.
But it leads us to this discussion of what makes music, music, what makes, you know, great music, what's music, what's noise, you know,
right.
do you talk about this in class?
Yeah, we do. We've actually talked about stuff like that, about, you know, the difference between something that's good music and something that's bad music and something that's just noise for the sake of noise. And that's another thing that we enjoy doing is just having these conversations, and we can go on for a whole period just, you know, debating back and forth.
Would you mind going on for a little bit with me on the subject now? Pursue it a little bit?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's listen to a couple of shortcuts. Check this out. That's a tough listen. That was the Opopka Middle School Orchestra playing Also Sprach Zarathustra. Actually, it wasn't. That was Karlheinz Stockhausen's Gruppen for three orchestra. So three orchestras together. Is that music? Is it noise? Ross, what do you say?
I guess the definition of music that most people have come to accept is the fact that music is an organization of tones and silence, but I'd like to take it a little bit further and say that not only do you have to have the organization, but it also should appeal somewhat to your intellect and to your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not just, you know,
it's not just for your head.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, you know, Stockhausen did have more of an organizational integrity in mind with this piece. I mean, this is one of those pieces from the serialist period in the 50s where music was dictated by, you know, a devised mathematical theorem. So, mm-hmm. In other words, if somebody said they didn't like it, it wasn't a matter of whether you liked it or not. It was like, well, you know, this is, we set this in motion, and that's what that's what came out.
Well,
and
I think it definitely, you know, would qualify as music. But, you know, I'm sure everyone likes to listen to different types of music depending on the situation.
Like, and it had those nice loud trombone notes at the end, don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah,
that
but
really cool.
Not necessarily something I would play as I'm trying to go to bed, you know?
Right, exactly. Okay, a tougher example then. Ross, can you identify that piece?
Sounds like New York.
Sounds like New York to me. Is it music or is that noise?
I don't think that that's music because it'd be pretty hard to coordinate and organize all the, you know, the subway car noises and the buses and the honking horns and all that. So while it is interesting to listen to, and people have, you know, made lots of money by putting that sort of thing on a CD and selling it as a, you know, sleep aid, I don't necessarily think that it qualifies as music.
I'm not sure you'd make a quick buck using it as a sleep aid either, I gotta say. But I agree with you, basically. But I want you to hear what American composer John Cage had to say about that very sound.
I'm continually writing music. At the same time that if you ask me what music I like most, I reply, the sounds around me that I haven't composed. I live in a marvelous place now that used to be the B. Altman department store on 6th Avenue. And the 6th Avenue traffic sound is extraordinary. And it's continuous night and day. And I listen to it with the greatest pleasure. I prefer it to my own music or to any music that I've ever heard.
You know, whether you agree with John Cage or not, he was a man obviously open to the possibilities of life and pretty amazing man.
Yeah, but then again, he is the guy that wrote a piece based on 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence, so...
Well, basically sitting at a piano, opening the lid of the piano for 4 minutes and 33 seconds and then closing it and walking off the stage, but not just about that moment of sitting at the piano, but obviously what the audience is hearing in their head, thinking in their head, perhaps the ambient sounds of the hall, the idea, this serendipity, the spontaneity of what might happen in those 4 minutes and 33 seconds, the emotional appeal of a piece of music that would make you say, well, that's not music, I'm really mad that I paid for a ticket for this. You know, all of those things are things that John Cage would actually celebrate as an aesthetic moment. And, you know, it's not something you want to do all the time.
Right.
But you know, it's an interesting kind of point of view. Interesting guy. Well, you're an interesting guy, Ross. Love playing with you. Love talking with you. Thanks for
Thank
being
you.
With us.
My pleasure.
And thanks for the bicycle lesson. Ross Holcomb, 17-year-old trombonist from Tallahassee.